And we are in Numbers chapter 13 today, starting with verse 25. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land. And they came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of Israelites in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Yet the people who live in the land are strong, and the towns are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the land of Negeb. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it.' Then the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we.' So they brought to the Israelites an unfavorable report of the land, and they had spied out, saying, 'The land that we have gone through as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are great size. There we saw the Nephilim, the Anakites from the Nephilim, and to ourselves we seemed like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Fear is defined as an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, it is likely to cause you pain, or is a threat to you. Does anybody remember, I don't know, it's 2017, so anywhere from 16 to probably 10 years ago, there was a show out that was called Fear Factor. Some of us remember that? And what they did, it was the most ridiculous show of all time, but it was one of those you had to watch once you started. The whole show was based on the concept of making these contestants do scary things, and whoever finished the most or finished the course or won the most challenges won the grand prize at the end, which I think was something like $50,000. But when I say they were crazy, they were crazy. Some of them involved like gross things you would have to eat, or these glass cases you would lay in with worms or spiders or snakes. And then when you had enough, you had to, like, you had to say, "No, I'm done." Or then you had to say, "No, I'm too afraid to do that." And then some of them were like tight roping on these buildings. And I always had this concept, like, nothing bad can really happen because this is TV. Like, they're not going to let somebody, you know, really get hurt. And then I realized it was taped, and so maybe they did, and they just omitted those parts. Fear factor. That's where we find the scripture today. 12 spies. 10 of them too afraid to accept the challenge. Take all the big names, all the big words, all the ancient Hebrew history behind all this, and it boils down to this. 10 people knew that that was the promised land God had promised, but were too afraid to go and capture it. 2 men took the minority report and said, "We are able, let's go now." When dealing with fear, there are always two responses. You notice Caleb didn't say the report's not true. He said, "Let's go take it anyway." So fear either paralyzes you or it motivates you. Now Caleb's motivation was because he knew that God had promised that land to them. And that if God had promised you something, he would make sure it turned out okay in the end. Isn't it amazing how much our children just get it? We could have stopped right there, but I don't even think they were serving lunches at most of the restaurants y'all were going to, so we'll keep going. Caleb and Joshua. We are more than able. The other 10, they're too big. They're too strong. They've defeated our people in the past. They even go as far as saying we would be better off to be slaves and die in Egypt than we would to attempt to fight that group of people. They even try to stone Joshua and Caleb. Does that sound like your life at all? It certainly sounds like the life of the church. And when I say the church, I mean the church, universal. Knowing God's will for your life is one thing. But whether or not you pursue it or you're comfortable staying in the wilderness is actually up to you. So what ends up happening? They wander around in the wilderness for 40 years, don't they? An entire generation of Israelites, everybody from 20 and up, they die before they enter the promised lands. Only Joshua and Caleb from that generation are able to enter. And Caleb gets the mountain that God promised. So this week, actually the last 2 weeks, since this was a topic at one of my men's breakfasts that we had, and we started talking about this, and it really hit my heart, is how many times as individuals do we fail to fully experience the promised land, God's will for our lives? How often do we miss the opportunity to live into the fullness of the land of the milk and honey that He has promised? How many times would we rather just wander through the wilderness or even go back to Egypt, to our old ways, to prevent the challenges that come from pursuing the will of God? Logan, he gets scared from time to time, not as much as he used to, but he still gets scared from time to time, especially when big storms come. And I think it's because last year we had the big storm and we lost power and the neighbor's trampoline flipped up into the tree at our home and he had never seen anything like that. But when the storm comes, he runs to his father. Now, any other time, he runs to his mother. So I'm not going to stand up here and tell you something that's not true. But when the storm comes, when he's afraid, when his fear is about to paralyze him to where he can no longer decide what to do, he runs to the arms of his father. Joshua and Caleb knew the challenge in front of them, but they ran to the arms of their heavenly father. They knew the promise that God would go before them, that God would stand beside them, and that God would be with them in the battle. There have been times in my life where I have been both groups of people. I have been the 10. I was a very young, we were the youngest one in our Sunday school. Matter of fact, we weren't even attending Sunday school at the church we were going to, and I was approached about teaching Sunday school. I said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "I'm the youngest one in there, not just by a little bit. Like, I'm the youngest one by far." And so sitting in a ditch that we had dug out in the backyard of my buddy to help him with some irrigation, he said, "I really think God's calling you to teach that class, and you're just too afraid to do it." I showed him. I taught that class. Kinda. I was approached about being the director of our Upward ministry that had grown to house about 200 kids while I was coaching and teaching, and I had excuses. I don't have time. Somebody else would be better. I'm too young again. Then not only did I accept the role, and then what they didn't tell me is that meant I had to serve on the council. So I was welcomed to the United Methodist structure pretty early. Then they said, "Not only have you done a good job directing, we want you to present the gospel at our celebration." And I said, absolutely no way, no how. That's not me. That's not who I am. So I presented the gospel at that celebration and several others. I had a friend approach me and say, I think God's calling not just me, but you to seminary. I said, not only am I not going with you, you are no longer my friend. So I go to seminary with my friend, and I'm excited that he'll be here to preach in a couple weeks, and I can't wait to lead worship with him for the first time. Then they said, Andrew, we think we've got a church we can place you at, but it's going to require, you know, this, this, and this. And there just wasn't time to get all the paperwork done, to meet the deadlines, to get all the votes in that had to be voted on. But somehow, by about 3 days, we met the deadline. It's amazing how even though we make excuses at times, God can overcome them if we'll distrust him. God still got his people to the promised land. Some of them just didn't get to experience it because they didn't trust him. So I want to update you on something that most of you have probably forgotten about. But here at Emmanuel, we've been going through a process since the summer sometime called Forward Focus. And what we've been doing is studying the history of our church, the history of our community, and finding what God's will might be for us at Emmanuel United Methodist Church. So this past Thursday, we had a meeting. And we finally went around the room and we said, what has God laid on your heart? No matter how crazy it is, no matter how radical it is, no matter if you've done it that way before or not, what has he laid on your heart throughout this process? I could not be prouder to be the pastor of that group. And I don't vote on that group. I don't really do anything but sit there and kind of help. They came up with some amazing ideas. And we've still got to flesh it out, and we've still got to do some of the logistics. But we've got ideas, and they've got ideas that when we put them together, we will transform the life of the elementary school in our community. We will transform the new developments in the Mill Village. And people will know that Emmanuel United Methodist Church is not only here, but there we're willing to do God's will. So proud of that group. So I left that meeting on Thursday, and it made me start thinking, at what times in our lives have we gone up against the giants as a congregation, as a body of Christ, and it turned out okay? I listed just four. There's several others. We started a children's ministry with two. How many do we have here today? 20. See, we had two options at that point. Do you realize how hard that would be? Do you realize that will mean people will have to serve? Do you realize that might cost us money? Do you realize that they may leave candy wrappers laying around? Or the Minority Report. But do you realize that if God is calling us to that, that we could start changing the lives of our children? My son this week got stuck with me one day after school. So I made him do his homework, and it came time to read. He wanted to read some silly book, and I said, no, go get your Bible. I'm going to be that dad. So he's moaning and complaining the whole time I'm reading Genesis 1 to him. He stopped me on five different occasions and says, I don't want to read this. So I'm getting out. Dude, I'll read all the way to Revelation. You're going to like your Bible. But we got to the end of Genesis chapter 1, and I said, Logan, why didn't you want to read that? He said, because Miss Angie's already taught me all that. I know that story, Dad. It wasn't that he didn't want to read it. He wanted to read something he hadn't heard before. Touched my heart in a special way. We talked as a group, and we decided, we hadn't had a Christmas Eve candlelight service in several years at the church. And, man, it just creates so much conflict, and it's so hard for people. And in the middle of the night, God placed in my heart, what if you did it on December 23rd and you just called it a candlelight communion service on Christmas Eve? And we did it. The first year we had 101. Last year we had 121. This year we'll have to use the balcony. We got here and not only did we not have very many microphones that worked, we didn't have a website. And some ignorant pastor said we need to start a website. So about the time we were trying to fire the website guy, but then realized we couldn't because he was also the pastor. A lady came to visit our church. And she came back the next week. And she said, Pastor, she said, I want to meet with you this week. God's already told me this is the church I'm going to join. And she's now a faithful member of this church. But I got up the courage one day and I asked her. I said, how did you even find us? These were her words. I went to Google and I typed in United Methodist Churches near me and your website popped up. I said, God will keep the website. Several weeks ago, there were enough people in the minority report that said, Preacher, we get it. There's not any of them here, but we're building a youth group. Get on board or don't, but we're doing it. So I got on board. Tonight, we're going to hold our first youth discipleship worship time. And what used to be one young person in that age group has now turned into six or seven. In a matter of 6 or 7 weeks. It's amazing when you're willing to take on the giants that stand in your way what God can do through your faithfulness. When I was in the youth group at StarTex United Methodist Church, we went to several concerts, and one of the ladies that was popular during that time, her name was Dana Russell. And we heard her at a concert down was it in Orlando? It was in Orlando, Florida at an event called Kingdom. But then she was performing here locally. I think she's from South Carolina, right? And when we were at Kingdom, our youth group was borderline crazy. So anytime something was quiet and we could make sure our voices were heard, we would yell out, woohoo! And then it just grew. It was kind of like the wave at a ball game. And then in Greenville, or wherever it was, somewhere here local, Greenville, I think. It was an outdoor concert, and she walked on stage. And some guy with a loud voice said, woohoo! And she stopped, and she said, where are y'all? And she found us, and she made eye contact, and she said, woohoo! My friends from Kingdom. Boy, we were the coolest kids in the world. But she sang a song, and I can't tell you any other parts of the song, but this line has stuck with me since my high school days. She said, I'm ready, willing, and able to do the things you want me to do. I'm ready, willing, and able to live my life to glorify you. That has stuck with me forever. Have you ever followed somebody in your car to a destination you didn't know how to get to? And you might have said something like this, you lead and I'll follow. He's able. He's proven it since the time they created the earth, and he continues to prove it by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit each and every time we gather. And we live our faith out to honor him. Regardless of what giants stand in the promised land or the will that God has for your life, he will overcome them. There are people in this church, God's calling you to do some special things, to step out of faith, to get out of the boat, to lead some things, to teach some classes, to lead some Bible studies, to be bold in your prayers, to shake Welford at its core until they realize who we are and what we stand for. But just like any other time you take on a challenge in your life, it'll be difficult at first. And sometimes when it gets difficult, we clam up and we just revert back when we'd be better off just being in Egypt and not even taking our faith or our church serious. Are you ready? Are you willing? And are you able? Let's pray.